It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
Hello, everyone. I'm Katie Pavlich, along with Jagan McDowell, Jessica Tarlov, Joey Jones, and Greg Gutfeld. It's 5 o'clock in New York City, and this is The 5. Democrats are testing out a new midterm strategy. Just call your opponents evil racists. The left taking a page out of Hillary Clinton's basket of deplorables playbook by ramping up their demonization of the GOP as a new way to court voters. Longtime Democratic strategist James Carville leading the charge while saying, just ignore the woke policies his party pushes.
Our people are kind of silly. Their people actually, racism is evil. All right, misogyny is evil. I'm sorry. The problem the Republican Party has is they got really stupid people that vote in their primaries. And when you have that, you're going to get in really stupid people demand to have really stupid leaders. And that's where the Republican Party is now.
But the smears don't stop there. New York Times columnist Charles Blow writing this op-ed, Republicans are America's problem, adding that we must stop thinking it's hyperbolic to say that the Republican Party itself is now a threat to our democracy. And former CIA director Michael Hayden going to a brand new low after agreeing with a journalist who tweeted this garbage, labeling Republicans dangerous and nihilistic. Hayden saying, quote, I agree, and I was the CIA director. So, Joey, first, I think we need to ban videos this close to your face. Nobody, those videos look bad on everybody. But is it really that smart for James Carville to be saying that these voters are stupid when Democrats are losing their coalition, especially among minority voters?
You know, I want to agree with James Carville that racism and misogyny to its fullest extent are evil. Which makes me wonder why James Carville is coming out of the closet as a misogynist and a racist after all these years. I mean, when you think about it, Jennifer Flowers might say that James Carville knows a thing about misogyny. Monica Lewinsky, some of the victims of Bill Clinton, who James Carville worked really hard to get elected, they might think about James Carville's words and say, that's not the GOP you're talking about. That's a legacy Democrats have.
Yeah. So, Greg, we hear a whole lot about rhetoric. And when you hear what Michael Hayden said, as the former CIA director who hunted people down with drones all over the world, you wonder what his thoughts are about people who are here.
This isn't new. This goes back to, I would say, 2015. And now you know why so many hoaxes and illegalities were condoned and even encouraged by intel experts. You can start with Russia collusion all the way to burying the laptop. If you believe X is worse than Hitler or X is worse than ISIS, why wouldn't you break the rules? Yeah. Why wouldn't you rig the election? I said that after January 6th. I said, it's like, you know, if you've been living in an atmosphere where people are saying you're evil and wrong, what do you expect? So here's the thing. So you begin with a journalist who says that Trump supporters, Republican Party, worst thing he's ever seen, worse than all these terrorists. If that's true, if he actually believes that, why won't you join Antifa? Why won't you take them out? My sense is that they really don't believe that. This is just hot take rhetoric that somehow has possessed them in their Trump derangement, hanging out on social media. Zach Weismuller of Reason, I think it's Reason Magazine, had the perfect question for Hayden. If you really believe Trump and Trump supporters are worse than the people you targeted with lethal drones, then what do you recommend here, right? Sure. I mean, you got to do something worse. Maybe you should carpet bomb NASCAR. But maybe you really won't do that, Hayden, because you're a coward. Or maybe you really don't believe it. Again, it's probably just a hot take. And to your original question, we've sat here and we've endured the media and intel agents accusing anchors of Fox and Trump of incitement while they do this. Adam Kinzinger called all of us evil repeatedly, said Liz Cheney was fighting evil. Liz Cheney compared Republicans to Confederate soldiers. Hayden says we're worse than terrorists. You have lost the right to bring up incitement to anybody who is angry or upset about being accused of being called something. Finally, I have to admit how wrong I was about the Patriot Act and the Iraq War. All those people from Glenn Greenwald to Matt Taibbi to Dave Smith to Kat Timpf, you know, I dismissed their ominous warnings that what the government could do to Muslims, they could do to you. Yeah. And I never believed that, but I'm wrong. And so I'm eating crow. Well, it tastes delicious.
Imagine a politician saying that.
Yeah.
In terms of the midterm elections, you know, there's someone who learned a lesson when they ran for governor last fall in Virginia about only focusing on Trump. Take a listen.
Glenn Youngkin has been endorsed by Donald Trump 10 times. 10. He said so much of the reason why I'm running is because of Donald Trump. Trump, Trump, Trump.
We're about to kick off the fall, the midterm campaign. And I tell Democrats all the time, forget Donald Trump. Just forget it.
So, Jessica, there's been a lot of focus on Donald Trump, especially with the news. What should Democrats be doing in terms of winning over voters besides calling them racist misogynists?
Democrats have been doing a pretty good job in the last month or so. If you look at the shift in the generic congressional ballot, we're now leading in the average. It was supposed to be a complete shellacking, people predicting up to 60 seats lost. We're in the lead. Mitch McConnell was caught in a hallway this morning, asked what he thought was going to happen with the Senate, and he said, we're probably not going to win the Senate. Much more likely that we flip the House. The reason that that's happening is because of Donald Trump's candidates, people like Herschel Walker. Like J.D. Vance in Ohio, who's down about 5 percentage points to Tim Ryan. This is a state that beloved Republicans. It wasn't even purple anymore. It was shifting into the reddest hue of purple that there is. So I get it. James Carville is 77 years old. He talks like he's 77 years old. He is a brilliant strategist who delivered a lot of amazing things for people on left, right, and center. Everyone loved the Clinton years, besides Jennifer Flowers and Monica Lewinsky. I'm not saying that, and I've been very clear about what Bill Clinton did there. But Americans are hearing Democrats loud and clear about the policies that we're getting passed. They like what they're hearing. And this rhetoric thing, it's unfair. I just spent, since the Dobbs decision came down, I've been called a baby killer more times, you know, than I can describe. And saying that people are dangerous, for instance, I mean, Republicans, prominent Republicans, call us socialists, call us communists. They say that the country will turn to Venezuela if we're in charge. What kind of friendly rhetoric is that?
It's not the former CIA director.
I'll agree with
that.
No, it's like the governor of Florida.
I want to get Dagan in on this. Look, Dagan, Terry McAuliffe was down or was up by 10 points on Glenn Youngkin at this very same time a year ago and ended up losing. So I think it's probably too early to say that Senate Republicans are down and out.
Right. And apparently Joe Biden's not the only Democrat with short-term memory loss, because James Carville and all of these Democrats ran in Virginia on racial demagoguery, period. I have some quotes I would like to share. Here's how badly it failed in Virginia. Virginians, and I, home state, got Glenn Youngkin as the governor, and then Winsome Sears as the lieutenant governor, the first black woman to ever hold high office in Virginia, and Jason Mieres, the first Latino attorney general. While Glenn Youngkin and all his supporters got called white supremacists, Jonathan Capehart said this about Glenn Youngkin. Youngkin won it because Republicans decided that tap dancing with white supremacy is their way back into power. Of course, we got the little gem from Joy Reid, which I will skip. And Terry McAuliffe said in his closing weekend of that campaign, Glenn Youngkin ran a racist campaign from start to finish. Democrats got shellacked. And you know who was helping out? The Crypt Keeper himself. He sent out an email. Yeah, Wisdom from the Crypt. That could be James Carville's podcast. He sent out an email, a fundraising email in late October last year. Folks, I got to tell you the truth. I hate guys like Glenn Youngkin. He's courting right-wing extremists. And it did not work. This is desperation dumpster diving by the Democrats. It's overripe. You can smell it.
Do you remember they couldn't find a racist, so Lincoln Project had to dress him up and bring him in and pretend to be racist. Exactly. I wonder what happened to all those activists that pretended to be Nazis. Right. Where are they?
They're probably actors. There's a lot of Law and Order being filmed in New York City. They probably at least got some work. But the point is to paint all conservatives as kind of dehumanize them. Again, because you can just this insidious, amorphous blob of people. Bigots are upset. Can't be upset about crime. Bigots can't be upset about putting food on the table. Bigots can't be upset about the family member who died from fentanyl that came across the border.
Well, what's the original word? The original word was evil. And I will agree with Jessica that being called a socialist and a communist is on par with being called evil.
All right. Coming up, the judge just unsealed some of the documents connected to the Trump raid. We'll tell you exactly what's going on up next.
Three Fox Nation exclusives, triple confidential. Was the sinking an accident or part of a horrific scheme? Take a deep dive into Titanic secrets. Some say they're trying to control the world with help from the devil. Enter the temples in Freemasons, a society of secrets. The clues are ominous, but what's below the terminals is more shocking. In Denver Airport Conspiracy, hidden in plain sight. The best conspiracies come in threes. Triple confidential. Start streaming this week on Fox Nation.
This is Jimmy Fallon, inviting you to join me for Fox Across America, where we'll discuss every single one of the Democrats' dumb ideas. Just kidding. It's only a three-hour show. Listen live at noon Eastern or get the podcast at foxacrossamerica.com.
Well, Portland, Oregon, and slow gin fizz. If that ain't love, then tell me what is,
Another huge twist in the FBI's raid on President Trump's home. The federal judge who approved the search warrant now telling the Department of Justice they have 1 week to release a redacted version of the affidavit, meaning we could soon find out details on why the judge initially signed off on the search of Mar-a-Lago. It's a big win for the media who have been demanding a release of the materials. And Trump says a redacted version is not good enough and the entire thing should be released. Meantime, the DOJ is still insisting it could hurt their national security investigation. Jonathan Turley, attorney, thinks that means they aren't likely to give up the goods.
If you're familiar with these affidavits, there are sections that would not inherently damage an investigation because it's information known already to the other side. If the judge disagrees with the redaction proposal of the Department of Justice, he will issue the order saying, I disagree, and then allow them to appeal. The suggestion is that nothing would then be released. That would mean that even a small disagreement with the government over one section could keep all of the sections from being disclosed. It's very likely to be a very aggressive redaction proposal from the Department of Justice.
Aggressive redaction, Greg. I think my ex-boyfriend was in that band.
Oh, yeah. Kind of a combination speed metal polka.
Yes.
You know, I'm going to step back from that amazing quote from Jonathan Turley. I was mesmerized. The contrast between this undying obsession with all things Trump and the relentless ambivalent toward the suffering of violent crime victims. I get up in the morning and I look at the New York Post. There's something ugly on the front page every day, and instead the media, and you know, we cover crime every single day, but the media only is concerned with crime when it somehow can be tangentially related to Trump. And I learned that from January 6th in Mar-a-Lago. That's the only time the Democrats actually care about the police and law and order if Trump is involved. So I would like to make a plea to Donald Trump to come to New York and commit heinous, violent crimes, because then finally the media will cover it. They'll finally find the right villain, because right now, man, it is like it is Escape from New York without Adrian Barbeau.
The building was the restaurant was broken into in the building twice two nights ago.
Which restaurant?
The one down here. I'm not going to give the name of it, but it was broken into twice. And then they're like, there's Fight Club out here on a regular basis.
It's sucker punch city here.
Yes,
people
it is.
Just get knocked out left and right
yes,
and dying.
Yes.
Anyway, sorry to divert this away from.
What's this segment about again?
Trump. The affidavit is going to be redacted and returned to the judge, and then the judge, if they don't agree on the redacted version, it's going to go up for appeal. So it's going to be a while.
You know, you can't sever politics from this, even if there isn't political intent from Merrick Garland on down. And I know I messed that name up, but I'm from Georgia, leave me alone. From Merrick Garland on down, even if there isn't political intent, you can't sever politics from this, which means Merrick Garland had to understand, and everyone under him, that politics would be the story, regardless of what the accusation or investigation is. So even though I understand the argument that, hey, we have to redact this because it's an ongoing investigation, these are special circumstances in the sense of the country's at each other's throat, and you start this crap storm by doing it this way, You might want to provide enough answers so the country can either move on or understand, because everyone just sits around and speculates as to what this is about. I mean, the best explanation so far, without any more information, is that he took boxes of material that he had all the ability in the world to read and understand and go talk about, and he took them with him and put them in his safe in his home in Mar-a-Lago. Okay. I'm sorry. You know, you got them back. Can we move on, or are you going to accuse him of treason? What's next?
It's not in this vacuum. It's the leaking and the speculation and the conjecture and the lying and the fabricating. And it is a replay of the Russia collusion, yeah, which was more than 2 years. And all American people deserve better than that.
The leaky faucet is Donald Trump himself. No one was talking about this until he started talking about it. He has been caught red-handed, not just talking about the documents here, with everything that he's been saying on the airwaves and Truth Social, sending people out to say on air, lying about this stuff. He's gotten his way. He wanted to force their hand. Then he got Merrick Garland to come out and to explain that he signed off on this himself. He takes it very seriously, to call out the fact that law enforcement was now endangered because Trump was attacking them and people were showing up at field offices and acting like lunatics. He now is threatening to release the tapes of what was going on at Mar-a-Lago. Go ahead. It seems that the bad thing that you were doing is on those tapes, which is why they ended up having to come and execute that search warrant. A Trump lawyer, whether Trump told him to or he just did it on or she of her own volition, lied to the FBI about giving back all of the materials that the National Records Office had said explicitly that Trump had and had not returned. And for you to say, worst case scenario, he did these things. That is bad to do.
I didn't say worst case scenario. I said that's what they're showing us.
We know they're accusing him of taking secret documents
to his safe in Mar-a-Lago.
No, first of all, we know that it wasn't well protected. We know that they were not comfortable with the way things are being stored. There's a new story out right now, actually, about who the informant could be, speculating that it could even be a member of his family. I think it's feasible that it's a Secret Service agent who has a sworn duty to protect the country over Donald Trump.
Katie, he has not been indicted for anything. And the way the search warrant is written, it is written that they can take every soupçon of information, every shred of paper from his entire 4 years in the White House. Wow. And then clearly the focus is on January 6th. And Merrick Garland and Biden doesn't know. Get out of here. Merrick Garland's some rogue. And he came out and said, and Dan Henninger wrote about this, the justices practices a narrow scope in any search. They took 3 passports, one of them still active. They talk about a narrow scope. We're just taking boxes, obviously.
Well, to essentially say that President Trump should be raided by the FBI and then not say anything about what happened, given the history of how the FBI has conducted itself against Donald Trump, is pretty interesting. But there is some interesting news that also happened today. The media and Donald Trump are actually in agreement. The media actually sued to have this affidavit released. Donald Trump wants all of it released with no redactions. You have Judicial Watch also suing. But they're going to drag this out. You know, the redactions are going to be conveniently on behalf of the government, and they can leak out the information as they have done for 5 years. That is complementary to their narrative, so people can speculate about the crimes and the evidence hiding in plain sight, as Adam Schiff would say, that eventually has not come to fruition. When it comes to DOJ and what's been going on and the way that they've treated this person who is the president and before then running for president and may run again, it's clear that the goal is to prevent him from running for president in 2024. They will drag this out through the midterm elections, which takes the focus off of Joe Biden and Democrats and their economic record. And the FBI has given up, in terms of public trust, the benefit of the doubt as a result of everything that they've done and the lack of accountability for the obviously biased behavior that we saw in 2016 and beyond. So when it comes to the redactions, I would be quite skeptical about what they're redacting and for what purpose they are redacting and what is under the black ink that you're going to see.
Can I just add really quickly to this? If this was actually an illegal search, which is what he's saying it was, you could bring that to court. And his lawyers are not doing that. They've had 10 days now to do it, and they've done nothing. And it's reminiscent of when Rudy Giuliani said
they have the affidavit, which they don't have.
You don't.
No, that's actually not true. They can bring it to court now because.
Why would you go to court when you don't have the details about what the affidavit says and what you're criminally under investigation for?
This is reminiscent of what Rudy Giuliani and Jenna Ellis did when they went on air and they spread lies about voter fraud that didn't exist. And then they showed up in court and to cover their butts, they argued process issues because they knew that you couldn't lie in a court of law.
This is the problem here. This is nothing but process. We have to start thinking about people instead of boxes of paper.
Yeah.
And I'm going to go back to my original point. I wish Merrick Garland was agonizing for weeks over riots. Yeah. Or over smash and grab, or over the 10% rise in rape in New York City. Instead, they are so focused on Trump that's the only criminal they see. Going back to the A block, that's the only one they care about. And your supporters, you're worse than Hitler.
They upended more than two centuries of norms to raid the home of a former president rather than, how about gun crimes? Let's go after some, to Greg's point, gun crimes, federal crimes, murders, gang crimes, none of that.
Maybe Trump is the offender.
Tick, tick, tick. We're waiting for that. Talk about too little, too late. The CDC finally fesses up on how badly it bungled the pandemic.
I dance myself into the tune. I dance myself into the tune. Is it strange to dance so soon?
We made some pretty public mistakes, and we need to own them. I think it's really important to understand the great work of this agency, but also to admit to areas where we needed to improve. We owe that to the American people.
Yeah, after trying to control our lives for 3 years, the CDC now says, whoops, sorry, we screwed that one up. Director Rochelle Walensky admitting her agency dropped the ball on the pandemic big time, saying the CDC failed to meet the moment and calling their own guidance confusing and overwhelming. Yeah, no kidding. But don't worry, Walensky claims everything will all be under control soon with an agency-wide reset. And Lord of the lockdowns, Dr. Fauci himself, also poking his head out to defend the organization.
Well, I think they should be commended in the fact, particularly Dr. Walensky, realizing and recognizing the shortcomings that have been there for quite a long time, long antedating Dr. Walensky's tenure. So I'm actually optimistic that given the fact that the problems have now been recognized, that there's a pathway to making a very good organization much better.
Yeah, Dagan, it sounds like they're saying a bunch of nothing. Like, I have a short memory, but I remember the CDC absolutely saying one thing and then another, and saying one thing and then another. And all they're saying now is, you know, we're bad at communicating.
Why is she still there? Can I volunteer to fire her right now? You're fired. You're fired. Get out. Tony Fauci's leaving, right? Get out. All I remember is March of last year when she was like, I mean, I'm really upset about what the future looks like. This woman and all the people, I love it was an infrastructure problem. Our public health infrastructure in the country was not up to the task. No, you weren't. And it's you. I screwed up. I set children back their entire lives in terms of learning because they were kept out of school unnecessarily for a year and a half, even longer than that. They never ran the risk of contracting grave illness or even spreading it to adults, but they closed down schools because Randy Weingarten at the American Federation of Teachers told him to. How about just call in, say, the parents of children who kill themselves or tried to commit suicide because they were locked away from their friends? How about apologizing to all the people who were fired across the country, teachers and firefighters and healthcare workers, because they didn't get the vaccine, which, again, only protects you from severe illness. It doesn't protect anybody else. These people need to be fired. They need to burn the entire CDC down and start all over. Literally, Jessica.
Katie, I guess they're going to bring in a bureaucrat from Obama's generation to come in and fix things. But when you look into this, they've spent tens of thousands of dollars not teaching Walensky how to lead, but just basically consulting on how to communicate that she is a leader.
I think they just need to find a little bit of humanity and common sense When the CDC had the science, they made the decision to follow the political science on a number of things. These guidelines were not just confusing or inconsistent. They were inhumane and criminal and cruel. You had people dying alone in nursing homes. You had people dying alone in hospital beds because they wouldn't let you go visit your loved ones in the hospital. You had women giving birth alone without their husbands and separated from their babies if someone tested positive for COVID in the maternity wards. They kept schools closed for years. And we know now that was a direct result of them listening to the teachers' unions. And then you had the crusade from the president of the United States and the full force of the federal government to try and run the unvaccinated, the great unclean, out of society, to get them fired, to keep them out of restaurants, to keep them out of workplaces. And that's despicable. And so when it comes to what we know, we knew early on what the science was, and they refused to follow it on a number of these issues, and people's lives were changed in very terrible ways as a result.
Greg, is there less public trust in the CDC or the FBI right now, or is it kind of a race to the bottom?
I don't know. I mean, I would prefer, I want to give them some advice, right? I have, what do I have here? I have five suggestions, five suggestions. Because it's a reset, and in a reset, they should listen to all points of view. And number one, you should make a commitment to being apolitical. Don't talk to the teachers' unions. Reject the woke. So that just stay away from politics. If that means turning off the TV, we'll live with that. Don't chase zero risk, because you'll end up undermining all of society. Chasing zero risk, making sure there's no risk at all, is why they put sand in skateboard parks and why no one could see their loved ones, right? You should put medical science in front of legal consequences. That's why we're shut down, right? Everybody's more scared of lawyers and lawsuits than they are of disease. Again, if you're chasing zero risk, that means that puts you into the insurance companies and the lawyers, and then you end up in some kind of like self-made prison. Then focus on high-risk patients first, which allows you to avoid the blanket recommendations for everyone. People have different risk profiles. An obese 35-year-old is way different than a 35-year-old gym rat. Unfortunately, we weren't allowed to say that because we were too scared. And I actually have to say, it's okay to change course. Science does that all the time. You can find out in a matter of weeks that you were wrong, but you have to do it for the data reasons, not for the politics and not for fear. You want to do it if the risk reduction is worth it and makes sense. I think I should run the CDC.
I was about to say, I've never heard Walensky say anything.
It's already been burned down, though. Dagan took a match to it.
Jessica,
I was just making a joke.
Jessica, real quick. For 2 years, we as conservatives were told we were playing partisan politics by critiquing things like the CDC, and now they're kind of admitting to it. So do they need to apologize to us as well?
Well, she did. You were allowed to tune into CBS. It's a free network.
Well, my TV doesn't go there. Yeah.
Really? It's a terrestrial channel. It definitely does. So the big thing that people will never forget is what happened to kids. I think that everyone can kind of stand what happened to adults who, you know, weren't. I'm just saying that setting kids back, especially when we knew things about the science of transmission outside. And that started very early. That was in the summer, right, that we knew that you could eat outside, which is why now here in New York City we have permanent outdoor dining, right, because that was something that was safe. So that's something that I personally don't think will be forgiven on any of these levels. But it is important in these conversations to always consider the fact, and yes, most of them had complications, most were the elderly, but over a million Americans died because of this. It's not some invented thing, you know, that was never going to hurt anybody. And yes, the science changes, and people should move along with it and say, well, from what we know now, this is our best recommendation. Well, and those words would have helped so much in tempering
a reset involves new faces, and I see Dr. Fauci all over the TV.
He's retired.
Can I say two words? China virus.
All right. Ahead, people forced to sell their houses to escape the homeless crisis because one liberal city is refusing to lift a finger.
In my truck, where my money goes, got blood on the Sunday clothes and directions to a honey hole that I'll never tell. And I know it's redneck mailing. No matter what you are,
yes, not a lie. Liberal city decay front center in Portland. People are being forced to sell their homes because city officials are refusing to deal with homeless camps at their doorstep. Once sought after communities are now havens for violence and open air drug use, and residents say they don't feel safe. Jessica, why do you love this? No, I want to ask you, is it reason why this problem is out of control because the modern left paints any possible remedy as oppression because they've dictated that this group is also an oppressed class, i.e. people living on the streets? They're oppressed. So any effort to even help them is considered wrong.
It's definitely part of that. And there's also this knee-jerk reaction to anything that seems like a normal solution, where they say, oh, you're a neoliberal or neocon, whatever. You know, Hillary Clinton, to the left, she was basically the same. I mean, Bernie Sanders said it, that Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton were two sides of the same coin, right? So if you put forward any kind of moderate solution to these things, you get totally lambasted very loudly by the left, and people are stuck in these situations. Nobody wants to live like this. No. But
they're right. Katie is protected to live like that. You can camp. And if you are against it, then, you know, you are actually an oppressor.
I actually think there's plenty of people who are fine with living like that.
Yeah.
And the enabling from these cities, they think that they're helping them by allowing them to just live in squalor on the streets and in these camps where there's lots of crime. But really, you're enabling very bad behavior and creating victims, whether they are other people who are on the street or people who work really hard to provide their families with a safe place to live. I have a friend who lives in a building across from one of these homeless encampments in Washington, D.C., that keeps building and building. And they have this constant debate with their board about whether they should call the city to do something about it. And it's the same thing. Like, they have a right to live here, too.
Yeah.
You can't take them out of their home. I mean, it's a problem with not a lot of great solutions. But if you allow people to live on the street, a lot of people will.
Yeah. You know, Joey, I never thought that we would have like a kind of like a futuristic dystopian world because we believe that the mentally ill have a right to destroy themselves in public. That's how this is going.
You know, you get what you ask for.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we report on this. I've never seen anything like that around where I live. We do have trailer parks, though, but, you know, they're nice and neat and organized and they're gridded out. And, you know, if something breaks, you go fix it. You're not addicted to drugs all the time. Like, you know, if you want to live in a trailer park, we have those. You know, conservatives can do trailer parks. I was raised in a trailer. But this is something different. Austin's a great example of this. They opened up the whole urban camping, and then they tried to rescind it, but there's nowhere to put the people.
Right.
San Antonio, also a liberal city, but a little bit smarter, was getting the homeless on a bus and busing them up to Austin because Austin painted this picture of, come on up, check it
out. Sanctuary cities.
New drugs right here, you got it. And so that's, you know, you get what you ask for.
Yeah, you know, Dagan, they talk about these illegal drug use area sites. Why not just shut them down? Because what that does is that moves the young, because a lot of these people are young and they're just avid drug users. You shut that down, they'll just move to another city. So what happens is they bust themselves in a way.
That is true. They will not, you aren't allowed on the street. You're not allowed on our streets.
Yeah.
You're finding somebody to live with, go live with a family member. In the rural South, it was the churches would take care of people, that you didn't have people on the street. And if somebody needed psychiatric care, back in the day, there were places, hospitals to go, that's where you would wind up. But these mayors and city council members, if they owned a business, they're treating the customers as if you are something on the bottom of their shoe.
Yeah.
And no business would ever be allowed to exist like that. So you have people who don't pay a dime in taxes every day disrupting the lives of those people who are taxpayers and making them miserable. And this goes on for years and years until the city collapses in on itself. There was a documentary. It's called Seattle is Dying. It came out in 2019. It's a local news documentary from KOMO. You can watch it. There are more than about 13 million people have watched, about 13 million views. Go watch it. How many years ago was that? It, you know, it's a slow death. It takes decades, but eventually these cities disappear as we know them.
You got to pull a Governor Abbott and send him to where the people don't see them, right? Send him to the governor's mansion.
Georgetown in D.C.
Ahead, slackers finding a way to quit their job and still be on the payroll. We'll explain next.
If you want it, here it is. Come and get it. Make your mind up fast.
you want to quit your dead-end job but still get paid? Just try out something called quiet quitting, the new workplace trend that has burned out workers doing the bare minimum on the job in order to mentally step back from all the stress. But is this just a cheap way to not work as hard? Katie, do you know quiet quitters? I feel like this is a big millennial trend.
I don't know, man. I guess it makes, if you're a type A, you know, hard worker, it makes it easier to compete, right? Mm. Boss can take notice. You're the only one working hard and everyone else is tuned out.
But bosses aren't noticing, which is part of the problem.
But how did they get these people to, I didn't read the story. But this is
Thank you for your insights.
This is the strategy that men often use to get out of relationships when they're too scared to break up, right? Like, you become less appealing, more ambivalent, reduce the effort until she dumps you. You're going to get fired. Yes. I would fire you in a second. If you were quietly quitting, I'd unquietly fire you in front of your parents.
You know, I bet that's right. I bet they all just created an OnlyFans so they don't care if they get fired. Yeah. I'm going to start one that's going to be nothing but feet pics.
Yeah. What? Your feet?
Do you get it? He doesn't have legs. Right.
No, but that's a thing.
But he has real feet.
No, I looked under the table. I was like, what? I've seen it.
No, I thought you meant...
It's weird. They actually are made to look like real feet. It's horrible.
I thought you meant, like, women's feet.
No, mine.
Well, how did this talk get about feet?
Because you said I didn't read it, and now no one wants to pay attention to my really important topic.
Because women's feet's a moneymaker.
There are really gross feet accounts.
Quietly quit running.
Okay, one more thing.
Wait, is that matters? Weigh in.
It's time now for one more thing. Jessica,
awesome.
You first.
So two tourists were fined for shredding through Venice's Grand Canal on motorized surfboards. Great video. The pair were seen zipping past the water taxis and the gondolas in an area where surfing, paddleboarding, and canoeing are banned. The city's mayor, Luigi Brugnaro, my Italian accents are not good, called the duo imbeciles. Said in the accent, and offered to take the person who could identify them out to dinner. They were later identified as two Australian visitors and had their electric hydrofoils confiscated, while each also facing fines of 3,000 euros, as well as expulsion from the city.
They don't want any fun there.
I live there.
Oh, yeah, you fell in the Grand Canal.
Oh, my gosh. All right,
yep.
Great.
Skin infection.
I came from a Grand Canal.
Oh, God.
We all
so
did.
Tonight, what a great show, 11 o'clock. Ainsley Earhart, Jason Craft, Cat Tim, Tyrus. Tyrus is back. This is going to be great. Now it's time for Greg's Frustration Corner. You know, I'm going to go away on my vacation. You're not going to see me for a while. It's going to be hard to get into my swim trunks because I put on some weight. So I'm much like this wombat trying to get through the door. Look how frustrated he is trying to get through there. That's me trying to put on my shorts. Yeah, I have to suck in my stomach and do some sit-ups.
I'm going to make it through.
There you go.
Get there. Good job.
You made it back through the Grand Canal.
That's not what we called a wombat in high school.
Good luck with your vacation, Greg. We hope you can enjoy it. All right, dig in.
The Hudson River and the area around New York City is full of glorious sea life. Hmm. Look at this kayaker videotaping. This is in the New part of it's in the New York Harbor, videotaping bottlenose dolphins. If you're lucky, maybe you're paddleboarding in the around New York, you might see a whale. How awesome is that?
Or a great white shark, apparently.
Or a floater, a body. Mm. I'm just kidding.
You had to ruin it with that.
No, it's true.
Okay, it is my turn. I went on vacation last week to Croatia, but it wasn't just any vacation. I went to go visit the villages where my great-grandparents are from. So here's me with in Kuna, where my great-grandfather was from. His name was John Pavlich. He came over in the early 1900s through Ellis Island. We went to Kuna. Then we stayed in Gabrili, where my great-grandmother was from. Get a bunch of fresh vegetables on the farm, and then had a lot of fun. So thought it was pretty cool that I was able to stand there where my ancestors. There's my wonderful cousin, Ivana, who thank God was there to translate for us. And she was a great tour guide and showed us new things about my heritage. So
Thanks
to my husband for taking me and to her for touring us around. Bars are great.
It's good.
Yeah.
I've partied in Croatia.
It was fun. All right, Joey.
All right, so this is something strange. This is called a fair ball right here. So see, he swings, he hits it. It's in front of the plate. It's not in the batter's box. It's a fair ball. This is the Toledo Mud Hens, which is a coot. Duck hunters hate coots. And so good on him. Good on him for not knowing what to do there. Catcher picks it up, tags him, he's out. But wow. That is a fair ball, playable ball. He should have took off running.
I've never seen that before.
Me neither.
You've never seen that ever before?
Where it just drops.
Do you know the rules about baseball, too, in addition to hunting?
I know it's a minute ago.
Okay. All right. Well, that is it for us. Special Report is up next. Hey, Brett.
Thank you, Katie.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network, subscribe and listen to the Trey Gowdy Podcast. Former federal prosecutor and four-term U.S. congressman from South Carolina brings you a one-of-a-kind podcast. Subscribe and listen now by going to foxnewspodcasts.com. Listen to The Five ad-free on Amazon Music with your Prime membership or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.